Hi, and welcome to the They Call Me the Ghost podcast, a podcast for those looking for good stories, looking for adventure. This week's episode is Who is the Ghost? Narrated by me, the ghost, each and every time. Let's get on to the story. They Call Me the Ghost. I was once an agent for the CIA, but I left all that. And now I'm an independent operative working on the side of the mysterious and unbelievable on some of the most bizarre cases out there. And these are my stories about some of those cases. Today is just a little bit different. I'll be starting at the beginning, sharing some of my history and background. Who is the ghost? Well, the ghost is me. And like everyone else out there, I have a history and a path I took to become who I am today. Where did I want to go? And how did I end up here doing what I do? Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about that. Take a listen and enjoy. It is unlikely to find many who are in a place today and have been in that exact same place their whole life or whole adult life. There are those little things that get us, like progression and growth. Through learning and life experiences, we expand our options and capabilities. At least that's what can happen. The opportunities are out there for change. We're given chances to learn and to become something more, or even just something different. And some people flock to this idea of change and growth and run into it head on. Others are happy just to dream about their big ideas and like to fantasize about who they could be. And they hold on to the belief that someday they will get there. And then there are those that pretty much refuse to see it and prefer, will actually work hard to keep things just as they are. They're comfortable where they are and they feel safe. For me, when it came time to start to venture out into the big bad world, I was feeling like I wanted it. I wanted to make it. And I wanted things to be great. I got educated. I worked very hard. Then I finally made my ultimate goal. I made it to the CIA. When we think of big crime-fighting agencies, the CIA and the FBI come to mind. And I could have went Bureau, but I chose the CIA because it was less of a law enforcement agency and is international intelligence. It's more proactive than reactive. You know, what I do now, I suppose you could say, is a little bit of both. But the CIA is everywhere. They're overseas. They have what almost seems like an endless amount of intelligence gathering equipment and resources. And just learning about and being a part of all of that directly affects how I do things now. I mean, my time at the CIA is not and will not ever be something I regret. And I still have many friends there and connections there. My split from them was smooth. Those guys are smart. Don't think otherwise. They're quick-witted. They can read anyone and are very insightful and perceptive in all situations. And it might surprise you, but they would have been the last ones to try to stop me from leaving the agency. In fact, I even saw some envy. Those in the CIA, they cover a lot of ground, as you can imagine, and they meet people from all walks of life. Situations don't surprise them. No matter how corrupt they are or different they are, they're always on the lookout and aware. When I did go to them with my idea of separating myself and taking what I was doing in a different direction, you know, they wished I would stay, but they never would have stopped me from venturing out. And they wished me a lot of luck. They knew enough about what's out there, trust me. And they too have gotten in pretty darn close to some funky situations, not too far off from some of the ones I do. And they knew, for the most part, understood what I was up against. But I obviously did leave and became an independent. And saying it all like that, you know, it makes it sound so easy, but it was not easy. This was a huge decision for me to make. But before I get all carried away and get too much into all of that, let's back it up and let me share with you some details about myself so that you can better understand who I am and why I would feel the need to make such a change, the shift that I did, and go into the work that I do now. And actually, before I even do that, I want to give you this. I was curious and I asked my team how they would describe me as a person, just to give you a general idea of how people see me before I even get into too much. I wanted to be able to tell you what they said from their perspective, not mine. You know, what really and truly do they see, and how would they explain me to you generally? And this is what I got. Extremely loyal, sense of humor, but very serious and focused at the same time. I am not the best with patience, and that one wasn't a surprise. I'm sociable, but alone time is good for me, and good for them apparently. When I'm determined, I will keep going, which they see as sometimes a good thing and sometimes a bad thing. And then finally, I drink way too much coffee. I mean, that's what I got, guys. Those are not my words. Those are their words. A simple description, but that's me. But who am I? Well, first off, I have gotten the question from you guys more than once if I am married or anything like that, and the answer to that is no. Now, while finishing up studies and starting my interest and path into the CIA, I did almost get married. We were very close. The guy was an archaeologist and an excellent photographer. I met him while traveling, and only to find out that back home, we were actually closer to each other than we thought. We had just never run into each other before. At the end of the day, though, our lives were headed in different directions, and that situation ended. I have seen him since, and I'm sure I will see him again someday, but right now, I'm just me. And in fact, no one on the team is married or anything right now. As a team overall, we stick together pretty closely. You know, I like it when we can take real vacation trips together. We all do. Each one of us has chosen this career, if you want to call it that, and it requires a certain level of dedication. But we do also have our own lives. So in my own life, what do I like to do? Well, one thing is that I love to go diving. And I'm talking underwater diving. I have been skydiving, but I'm not as into that as some other members on my team. If I'm diving, I prefer it to be underwater. I like boats. I like to go sailing. I think because it has the whole adventurer, pathfinder thing about it, which just seems to be a huge part of who I am. I like to ride horseback and motorcycle. I like to cook very much. No one on the team is ever surprised. If, say a day after one of our jobs and we're back and I'm at the warehouse taking up the entire kitchen, cooking up something that I've never made before, and I need them all to come over and check it out, hang out with me. It's pretty funny. They don't know what to expect, but they all want to come and check it out. And I'm very fortunate that we can all hang out together. Even if work is on our minds, we always seem to pull out the humor, and it's great. Frankie's the other chef on the team, and it's kind of funny. Frankie and I like to cook. Harley likes to bake. I haven't told you all about her yet. I mean, she can really make great things. I'm not as into that side of it, but she'll come in and she'll make all these awesome goodies and hand them out to us and our neighbors. It's great. And for her, it's therapeutic. You know, Jagger, well, he'll just eat whatever anybody makes. And Ryder and Scarlett, they aren't quite as interested in the kitchen thing, but we all end up in there at some point. So those are some things that I like to do, but what are things I'm just interested in? Well, I can't get enough of space and time. I love it. I can't get enough of it. I think history is fascinating. We can learn so much from our history. It's crazy. And I'm really into the human mind. I mean, there's Harley on my team who has a PhD in psychology. I'm not that, but it really interests me why people do the things that they do. And we all on the team sort of have to be interested in that type of thing in this line of work so that we can try to figure out what someone might do next in different situations. You know, the worst thing for us is to be caught off guard. And so we're constantly analyzing situations and the people in them so that we're best prepared for anything. Another thing that I suppose is something I'm interested in and I like to do, but I'm interested in it because of what it does for me and other members on the team. I mean, as part of being prepared, and I've talked about this before, all of us at the warehouse care about our physical fitness. So yeah, I guess you could call it part work, part personal interest. It's not so that we can be better than the next guy and look all good. You know, we're not trying to be bodybuilders or anything like that. Although Frankie is a pretty big guy. But we use it so that we are physically ready, so that we're feeling our best and in our best shape for who each of us are to handle situations. We need the ability to be quick. You know, we need the simple things like being able to keep our balance. We need stamina. things like that, so that we don't burn out quickly on jobs where the demands aren't even known a lot of the time until you're right there in it. It's also a mind-body-soul thing. It helps us with stress. Getting in a zone and working on yourself is never a bad thing, whatever level you're at. I mean, no one needs to be a gym king or queen. It can just be for your own well-being. For me, it gets the blood pumping, it makes me feel good, and it mentally relaxes me and helps clear my head, helps balance things out. Life balance all around is important to me, probably one of the most important things out there, in my opinion. You know how we all have those little nagging things that get us, the little unfinished projects, the I will get to that's. Those things get to us over time, whether we realize it or not. To have life balance means that you're taking care of it from all sides. All things are never really done, right? And nothing's ever perfect, but there can be balance. And I believe in that so that whatever you're doing at the time, you're the best that you can be. For me and in this line of work, things would become impossible without that balance. So that's a little bit about me. But now what about all those years before all of this, before I am the me I am today? Well, overall, my life was good. I do, though, have that seemingly inevitable tainted stamp on my life. Seems like so many of us do. For me, it was when my mother died. I was only 12. That was very hard. But we did get through it. And then it was just me and my pops. He's a great guy. My mom's mom stayed close as well. She was always there and always very supportive. And she always pushed me to believe in myself. She really wanted me to do more, at least realize that there was more I was capable of, more I could do. She herself was a late bloomer with regards to success, but she didn't let age stop her. She didn't see it as an obstacle. She wasn't intimidated. She wasn't going to be stopped from doing what she learned and believed that she could be, even if she learned it later in life. At 60, she became a psychologist and started her own practice. She would always say, it's not when. Time's never up. The point is that you actually do what you know you can and what you in your heart want to do. She was great and a big influence on who I am today. And other than having my grandmother around, it was really my father who raised me. We were also very close. He was a detective, for where I'm not going to say, but I got to know a lot about how things worked in this world, more than your average preteen, which was about when I started to pay attention to what he was doing, things the average person wouldn't see. The extremes people would go to cover up crimes, get money, things like that. All of what he did and how he was is also an important part of who I am today. His life was in no way typical, no typical hours, no typical work, no grind, none of that stuff. He was great at what he did, but it was a go, 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 case by case basis. I've never had typical hours either, even at the CIA, even though, you technically have hours, I'm sure you can figure out that no agent really does. You're working a lot, and yeah, you're trying to be ahead of things, but seriously, there is a lot of work and information to sort through and translate into something meaningful. There can't be hours. But growing up, we had a guest house out back, and my dad filled that thing with casework. And as I got older, I'd even find him sleeping out there. He was so involved in what he was doing. But I'd sit out there with him, and even though I was supposed to be doing my homework and things, I was paying attention. And then as I got even older, I wanted to be more and more involved, and I found myself interested in the cases, legitimately interested. It was when I was hanging around my dad in a more serious way that my own ambitions really started to take shape. And while all of that's going on, I was in school, of course, and then I went on to further my education. My studies included criminology and behavioral psychology, with some extended studies beyond that. My education was continuous, really, even while working my way up in my career, and all the way up to that very intense mental eval at the CIA. not fun. But that was the path I took, and so it went. You know, but how did it all go down? How did I get from the guest house to college to the CIA and then this? Well, I learned from my father. I went to school and learned. And when I finally got to the CIA, you know, I was both excited and I was intimidated, really, to be honest with you. These guys are serious business. They really do great things, although like any organization, there is corruption, which we all know about, obviously. And there's always the big one, controversy. But nothing that you might see as a negative really can compare to what they actually are trying to do. There are some great things that the general public would never know about. They can't bring everybody in on every single thing. Their job is to help protect us. Security is important for the life that we have. And really, no matter what anyone's beliefs are, I would think that we all would like to feel secure. But I mean, I won't sit here and deny some of those negative things either. Any CIA agent will readily admit that yes, there was, you know, the attempted brainwashings in the 40s. They've been into psychological research, some good and some questionable. Most of you know about remote viewing. I mean, they were into that idea, ESP, all that stuff. But just remember this, when you think that you know everything about a group, especially one as big as the CIA, in all actuality, you really only know what you have been told. People putting the stories out there, they love to feed us the bad stuff, the negative stuff. It gives them traction on their stories, and the stories have more longevity. They can talk about that stuff for days and days. The CIA's primary objective is to collect important information that they can analyze, and they evaluate all of it to support national security, local security even. We share helpful information with other countries and other governments. So much of their stuff is classified, and it's all very complex. But, okay, this isn't CIA class, but I wanted to just explain a little bit about that so you can understand why I was attracted to it. The CIA wants to be one step ahead and be prepared. Like I said, proactive, whereas the FBI, for instance, is more reactive. And I wanted to be on the proactive side. And the CIA seemed like a great place for me, and it was a good fit for me at the time. But as it turned out, my stint at the CIA really turned out to be a stepping stone towards my own true and meant to be destination. Back at the time of my big decision, I was going to separate and go on my own, I talked to my confidants in the CIA and there were mixed feelings. You know, was I going through some kind of phase? Some, you know, they just liked me and they liked my work and they wanted me to stay. And others expressed concern, you know, would I be okay? No one could deny, though, that this really did seem like a good fit for me, and I decided to do it. And when I did, I wanted all in. I had to set my fears aside, and I had to go for it. In the beginning, though, it did feel like a lonely place. And like I said, you know, you just get used to one thing, your surroundings. It really is hard to imagine that such a big change could actually work. I mean, you can't, you know, guarantee that you'll love it. It's a chance you're taking. For me to get through it, I decided just not to look back and to focus on moving forward. And part of what kept me moving forward was something, a big something that I worked on outside of the CIA, but I was still in the CIA. I was interested and I was treating it more like a hobby that I might take on, you know, see what was out there. Well, it turned out to be a lot more than that. But at the time, I was interested in knowing what it was, what was out there. I mean, I knew there were cases where people had nowhere to go. I knew to go out there, it wouldn't be all fun, you know, glamour and excitement. There would still be the bad guys and the very bad things that are out there. But the bad things are usually focused on something, and the bad guys are usually looking for the big dogs like the FBI that would be coming after them. They wouldn't think of me. Anyway, after that first side job, my interest in going independent and diving into what some would call, you know, strange cases out there became stronger. I felt a stronger pull towards it. I knew the extraordinary was out there. I knew people were stuck with nowhere to turn. You know, all of this morphed over time, but that is where my head was at in the beginning, which brings me back again to my decision to leave the CIA. It was a very hard thing to do because although the CIA has a lot of rules and boundaries that I wanted to break through many times, It is also a layer of protection. You know, you're under an umbrella, the safety zone, I call it. You know how you have a job and you just don't want to leave because, you know, there are great benefits, you know everybody, it's always there for you, you can rely on it. Those things are hard to leave no matter who you are. And I knew that if I did make the move, I would be accountable only to me, which when you think about it, for any of us, can be a tall order. You have to be committed to be your own leader. And really, aside from all of the work that I was intending to discover out there, I knew I had to commit to that above all else, or none of it would work. So there was some time in there, you know, working by myself, that I did some soul searching. It might sound dramatic, but there's no other way to say it. I really had to take a look at myself. I made sure I took the time to do that. And at the end of the day, it was time for me to go. I felt good about the choice. My grandmother was a huge influence on me, and I always respect those, you know, that are older and wiser than us. She saw something in me, and she saw something about the world. She would always say, "There's more to the world and there's more to you." She was hoping that I would take this chance. And now, as we know, I did. And I couldn't be more glad that I did. And so there it was. One day I was a part of something big. I was an agent. And the next day I was alone. I took a little bit of time off at first. I reflected on that side job that I mentioned because it affected me as well. It was also a big influence on my big decision. Because now I've mentioned it a couple times now, I want to give you some more information about that side job that really got to me. It involved a young man who had just come out of a coma. And I actually did do up a story on that job. I called him Client Zero. But the powers that be here didn't love it so much, although I never figured out why. So I took that story down. Some of you out there, though, might have heard it. Either way, let me at least fill you in a little bit on how that all went down. This guy was hit by a drunk driver, and long story short, he went into a coma, and then he woke up, and he woke up with a new ability. He comes out of it, and he claims that he can see the futures of anyone he comes in contact with. When I met him, you know, and I'm still in the CIA, remember, at this point. This job was referred to me by a friend who asked if I would help. Anyway, I go to shake this kid's hand, and he grabs onto me tight. He looks directly into my eyes. He tells me that I am the one. He tells me I have to do it. There's no other way. Yeah, well, not sure what he's talking about. I'm thinking maybe he's talking about, should I leave the CIA? But he tells me that coming to see him was not by chance, and in fact, it was meant to be. And he says that I'm there now, and he's supposed to tell me something, and I'm supposed to stop it from happening. It's about his best friend that this guy claims will grow up to be the next Ted Bundy, but that it won't only be women. And he sees in the future that he himself will become one of his friend's victims. And then the guy would go on to do more damage. The young man needed help. The family needed help. They believed their son. They couldn't pay for any help, which was fine because I wasn't even sure if I could help them. I still had my regular day job, but I did start some interviews. I talked to this guy's doctor. I talked with his parents. And then I even talked with the future serial kid himself. I guess he wasn't really a kid. These guys were college level, although this one had zero plans for furthering his education. He was more interested in exploring his new motivations at this point. There was a lot that happened on that job. I had to call in favors from people I knew through the CIA and in the CIA. The goal, I mean, we couldn't just take this guy out. The goal was to scare him straight, scare him out of the direction he was going. The job would be to change the paths of those involved. Neither of the families were wealthy, and I did help connect them to some of the care they needed badly. I scared the one guy, and that was pretty interesting, and I gave the other one a chance. There was nothing more that I could do at that point, though, and when I left that job, that was it. Only time would tell. But it was that job. That job really stuck with me. And because of that job, I kept getting pulled into the direction of going out into the real world to do more. It was pivotal times for me. And it was because of that job, really, that gave me the final push. And I took those first steps out of the CIA and onto my own. And when I made that break, I went and I set up a small office. And believe me, it was tiny. I didn't need a big space. I just needed access to good stuff. I realized that in order to get some of what I needed and in order to get some of the things done that I wanted to do, I had to work in the shadows, a place where people couldn't find what I was doing. And that's how I ended up deep, deep, deep down in the internet. And I definitely don't recommend hanging out there. For me, it provided security, but you really need to know what you're doing. But I did what I had to do. I put the word out and sent out the idea, you know, of my services, and it started to spread. When I worked with my client zero, it opened my eyes into how frustrating it would be to be in a situation where no one believes anything you're saying. You feel insane and you're panicked because maybe you know something, maybe you need something, but there's nowhere to go for this help. So what I envisioned for my new career, I pictured those types of situations. Maybe there was something that I could do. You know, the CIA is fact-based for the most part. They do have their exploratory side, I'll admit, which is where I wanted to be, but when all was said and done, I wanted to take it further to a place where you can accept that anything goes, because I believed that was how the world really was. I'd seen enough. I mean, I knew it was. There are people out there in seriously unbelievable situations, and things are happening. And when it happens to someone, where do they go for help? How would they even go about getting assistance? Well, I decided and was getting set up for it. I wanted to be that option. Someone people could go to when they were in too deep. I was ready. I was set up and I was ready for anything. And I put myself out there and I started networking like mad. And that's how it started. And you know, it's weird to talk about this. I don't talk about this very often. And to think about it now, I mean, time goes so fast and so much has happened since all of that. But time does go by, and I progressed and I kept moving forward, and now here I am today. And I'm here literally working here on YouTube, which is also kind of funny to me because I personally am not a social media person by any means. My team member Frankie is like me in that way. We are probably the two most against it or not interested in it on our team, in the sense that we'd rather deal with things in the real world, in real life settings. To me, that's what matters, really. And going out on my own, I've definitely been dealing with things in the real world. I got a lot of experience under my belt in a short amount of time on my own. And as I got going, the real world intensity started to set in. I got some crazy jobs back then. For instance, I found myself at sea alone on a freight where these guys, and I considered them pirates, really, but you know, I'd call them preppy pirates, because on land, they seemed like real good, successful men, but this group was up to no good. They were bringing in these little statues, and they planned on selling them at flea markets across the country, across the US, in a group effort to spread these cursed statues, these curses. They were almost like little voodoo dolls, only they had powers to basically hypnotize anyone that came in contact with them, you know, and really looked at them. It seemed like an odd attempt at a takedown to me, but according to the source, it was completely legit. I could find no reason to doubt them, so off I went. The only way I could stop this was to fly to Portugal. The origin of all of this was Beijing, by the way, and they were using a freight from Portugal to bring these things over here to the United States. I had to get on that freight and basically dismantle these things. And there were a lot of them. It took me all night in this large crate dismantling these little tiny statues. A very tedious process. And there were a lot of them. It took me all night. But this was how I started to get some of my special gadgets. Through my contacts, I was able to get, for this job, these special glasses. They weren't heat sensor glasses, but they sort of acted like that, so I could see the object without actually looking at them. I got it taken care of, and it was quite the scene when we got back to the States. I also sent the CIA to Beijing after that, and what happened then, I'm not at liberty to say, but that job started something. The CIA was learning that they could trust me on the outside, and I was gaining contacts that I still use today. That job was the start of a lot of that. Another job that I took had to do with more evil. And alone, I had to stake out this graveyard and this deranged family that was abusing graveyards altogether. They had somehow gotten a hold of some old artifact that had this religious energy. When someone was buried, they would basically attack the site and use this artifact and hold this ceremony in the dark to extract the soul. They did believe that souls left the body when someone passed. However, they also believed that there were remnants left behind of their energy, you know, that it would take time before anyone was completely emptied of what they were. And this artifact would help them pick up the scraps and keep the energy for themselves. And this energy would keep the family young. Remember the Twilight movies? I mean, how can you not? Remember what a big hit those were? Wow. Anyway, that family, the Collins, never aged, right? They were vampires. And the whole idea of this soul stealing was meant to have the same effect. It was the matriarch who was in charge of it all, and I had to go in and get that artifact. I had to stake them out for quite a while, find out where they were going next. They kept their eyes on burials and deaths. When I finalized a good opportunity, there was a lot of setup that I had to do in this one particular graveyard. I needed quite a few special tools on that job, and I had to take them with me in order to trick this group, distract them, so that I could get this artifact all by myself. Well, I did get it, and I wasn't in possession of it for very long because I then sent it to the Vatican to be stored in their archives. And that job was the beginning of my relationship with the Vatican, like I never had before with the CIA or anything. And I know there are a lot of negative thoughts around the Vatican and what goes on there, but we have to remember how old the Vatican is. Lots of bad things have happened there, but the fact that they have a lot of dangerous and very powerful items stored away for safekeeping, that is actually a very good thing. There are a lot of people that would love to break into those deep archives. They would have a heyday. The problem is, they wouldn't really have any idea what to do with anything, which would make things even more dangerous. That was the only place this artifact could go, and so it did. And then that job was done. And if you want to talk about stress, me going in against this family was not something I would suggest as a good time for anyone. And I went through a lot of jobs that were stressful like that on my own. And I knew that I was going to need a team. I could not be everywhere at once. I was less effective alone, less efficient. I needed backups, and I needed people with different skills and specialties. The team members didn't come right away, though. It took a while before I was able to start adding them one by one. And putting the team together was one of the best things I've ever done. I love those guys. We work great together. I will say, though, that when I was working by myself, I did get a bit lonely at times, but somehow I needed that time as well, you know, in between things to really look around me and be fully aware of what I was doing. And yeah, back then, taking on jobs was not as busy as it is now. The pay was good enough to hold me over when they could pay, but I had more personal time to really look at everything. And eventually did get my team, starting with Scarlett, then I got Jagger, then Frankie, and Ryder, and finally Harley. And man, we have taken on so many jobs, and it's been a lot. Since the beginning, after a job, and we're all like this on the team, I like to cool down, you know, look back on everything and sort of close it all out mentally. You know, we finished the job, we have left the job. And so then it's time to do some mental cleansing, which is why I usually don't talk about jobs right after they've happened. I will occasionally, but not usually. There's a lot of urgency and pressure put upon us, you know, on these jobs. You're stressed out because you want to do a good job and you have your own goals. It needs to be completed. You know, these jobs are heavy to carry around. And so the come down is important to always consider. Not that we always get it. I mean, look what happened the other week recently. We just had gotten back and had to turn around and leave immediately. But anyway, that's why the jobs I talk about with you guys are usually from some time ago. Lastly, today, I'm guessing that you guys are wondering why I call myself the ghost. Well, there's not a ton out there about it. You might see some books and things, and you might have heard of the term spooks, actually. Spies are oftentimes referred to as spooks. Well, a CIA agent is at times called a ghost. You know, they're out there, but you never see them. You don't know who they are. It's as if they're a ghost. And like I said, there's some books out there and things that use that, but I wanted to be able to explain it to you myself. And no, I'm not in the CIA anymore, but the term still fits. And I did take some of the CIA with me. And that's, in general, who I am and how things went down for me, how it happened, the influences, the big decision. All of it meant something and is and always will be a part of who I am today, who I might be down the road. I hope that by telling you some things about myself, that it helps you see more of who I am. You know, over time, I've learned and discovered about myself that I've set my standards pretty high, but I had to. You don't work your way up through and to the CIA and then go independent without the belief that you can do it, without setting that standard that you want to do it and you will do it. Doing what you want to do, what you intend to do, can sound so easy. You know, how you set your mind to it and you're all pumped up because you know that you can do it and you're just imagining how great it's all going to be. But then when you really get into it, it's harder than you think. It's so much easier just to go back to what you were and how things were. Keep the status quo. But there wasn't going to be any more status quo for me after my decision to change things up. It's about all of me. All of what influenced me, all that I learned, and just the idea of feeling safe to not only dream, but to do. People out there, you, if you want to become something, believe that you can. Do the work and then do it. I really hope that you enjoyed today's story, you know, my history, a little bit about me. I really appreciate that you came by to listen. Like, subscribe, and turn on your notifications if that's your thing. And again, thanks for taking the time to be here today. And until next time, and I will talk to you all soon.